Ephesians 4:17-24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Once again, we want to welcome those who are visiting with us. We're thankful that you're here, grateful to God for your passing through our way and able to worship with us. We, as members of the body of Christ, are blessed to have our God to worship each and every Lord's Day and other occasions that bring us together. This morning, we're going to be looking at a lesson here that is taken from, well, partly from this passage that we just read, but the idea here that we're looking at, open to change, has to do with our hearts as we go through life. Obviously, there are those still in the world that are not yet a part of the body of Christ, and their minds need to be open to change. Think about people that are in our local jail, people who are in prisons throughout the world. They're not happy where they are, surely. You know, they are confined. They're restricted. They're paying for the consequences of their sins, their violations of law. And of course, if people want to have hope and come out of situations where there is trouble in their life and they want a happy life and they want to be headed toward heaven, then hearts must be open to changing our ways to do God's will and to walk according to the truth. So what we're going to be looking at this morning are 4 points here relating to this idea of being open to change. We've got to have an open heart. We must have our ears open to the truth as well. We must have open eyes. And finally, there's the idea of hastening to change. There's no need to delay, and in fact, it's dangerous to do so, as we'll see. But let's begin by talking about this idea of having an open heart. An open heart. We have to have a disposition that when God corrects us, when the truth is known to us, that we are willing to do an about-face and to bring our lives into confirmation with what God teaches in His Word. And God's desire, as we know, is to save all of humanity. That's why He sent His Son into this world. He, before He sent His Son, sent prophets to speak, to warn, to make people aware of what they need to do so that they could be right with Him. And if you'll notice in the Scriptures in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, this comes right before God brought judgment upon His people. And why did He do that? Because they had been long in sin and their hearts were not open to change. God had sent prophets to warn them and they would not listen. So look at there, 2 Chronicles 36 beginning in verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by His messengers, rising up early and sending them, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. Think of that for a moment. When we are in sin, God looks at us. Yes, there's anger involved, but He has compassion because He knows, look at where they're heading. They're lost. Their souls are in jeopardy. They cannot be saved. And so His heart is compassionate. And therefore, He, through His Word, warns us. He calls us. He says, refrain from sin. Or He says, begin living this life that I've called you to live. But what is He doing? He's trying to reach our hearts. He's trying to reach our hearts. What does it say? How did the people react to the prophets who were sent by God's compassion? Verse 16, but they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and scoffed at His prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against His people till there was no remedy. God allowed them to hear and to reject and to mistreat the prophets, to kill some of the prophets. God allows all of that, hoping that they will come to their senses, turn to Him, be saved. But it didn't happen. Therefore, verse 17, He brought against them the king of the Chaldeans, who killed their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion on young man or virgin. On the aged or the weak, He gave them all into His hand. So a compassionate God delivers His people into the hands of those without compassion. Why? Again, He's trying to reach them. He began with words, and then He ended up with bringing affliction upon them, all in an effort to change their hearts, to cause them to repent and turn to God, that they might be saved. Hearts are sometimes very close to the truth. When Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, brought before the high priest and the council in Jerusalem on that occasion, when he began to teach them and when he spoke to them about God's will, the Bible tells us that they hardened their hearts against the truth. They were unwilling to hear the message, change their disposition toward Christ and His followers, and begin to embrace the Son of God. And so you look at what Stephen says in verse 51 down through verse 53. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. Here are those who were hardened, couldn't be reached. Their hearts were not open to the gospel. When they were told, they would not listen, they would not change or conform their will to God. Therefore, you see the consequence. Souls that do not keep God's will, that will not heed God's will, are souls, as we saw from 2 Chronicles 36, that face the judgment of God. Closed hearts are lost hearts. But what are some of the barriers to change that we read about in the Scriptures? What gets in the way of change? One of the things that we read about is found in Daniel chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Now, in this particular passage, we have Daniel who is speaking to Belshazzar. Belshazzar is a descendant of Nebuchadnezzar, one of his forefathers who had reigned over Babylon. But what we see is that Belshazzar had become aware at some point of what had happened to his forefather. You remember how God had judged Nebuchadnezzar for his prideful ways and his continuing in sin? He didn't heed the warnings, and therefore from his pride he was brought low. His understanding left him. He was like a beast in the field. And so Daniel, notice here, beginning in verse 18, says to Belshazzar, O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdoms of men, and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house and so forth. He goes, the idea is pride brought about the destruction of Nebuchadnezzar. And now Belshazzar even knowing everything that had happened to his forefather, didn't learn that lesson, but did the very same sort of things. He did the same things, and thus he had not humbled himself before God. Pride is a barrier. Proverbs 11 verse 2 tells us, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. And again in Proverbs 29 verse 23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Pride is a barrier, but what else can be a barrier? A lack of love can and is a barrier to many. There was an occasion that Jesus speaks about in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Whereas Jesus taught, ministered, proclaimed the message, something was happening. People were being persuaded. And even some of the leaders were persuaded. But the difference between some of the people and some of the leaders was what they loved more than other things. Nevertheless, we're told, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. If there's anything that we love more than we love God, that is going to be a barrier to having a heart that is open to change, that is receptive to what God is telling us. Because, you see, if God tells us something that gets in the way of what we love, why would we stop? Why would we embrace God's word? We would keep holding on to, and that's the danger. We love something like the rich young ruler. For him, his material wealth got in the way of his loving God like he should with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can love things to where things become your idol. You can't get enough things. The old things have to always be replaced by new things. And then those new things get old. And we want more new things. And we have to spend time playing with those things. And we don't have time to do God's will. And we drift away from God. And our priorities become what they shouldn't be. People can be things that we love even more than the Lord. Matthew 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So look at what the Lord is telling us. Sometimes, even relationships in life, if we put them before God, if we're wanting to follow people, get along with people that we're related to or that we work with, whoever it might be, instead of following God and being like him, we want to be like the world or people around us. You see, we basically told God, I love these more than I love you. Jesus says, you're not worthy of me. We don't want to be there. But then there's another thing that we could suggest as a barrier to having an open heart, and that is not having fear as we should. Not having fear. Fear is a good thing to have. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. So Paul says, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. You see what he's saying? Look at all these people. Look at humanity and the course that most people have taken. Nobody's listening to God. Nobody's following God. Why? Continue the reading there at verse 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, so their mouths are foul, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And here is a statement. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The reason why many people continue to do sinful works and do not change, and their hearts are not open to change, is because they don't have fear of God. They don't have fear of the consequences of sin. They don't see the reality of where they are headed. It's like it's not even there. The reality of hell and the danger that is before them. And so our hearts must be open to truth. James 1. Look at what he says there, beginning at verse 21 in the book of James. He's urging, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. God is calling upon us here to clean up our lives and do what? Receive with meekness a humble heart. Receive what? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. God's word can transform us. God's word can save us if we have an open heart to put aside the evil in our lives, to embrace what is good and right. And then we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so we must have open hearts, but we also have to have open ears. Open ears. We've got to hear our God. Our Father in heaven speaks to us. We are His children. If you have children, you know the love of a parent, right? You know the compassion, the care that you have for your children. Your hearts are concerned if they are in danger. And you want their good health. You want their good well-being, both physically and spiritually. God is that way as well. He wants us to hear Him. And by listening to what God tells us, we learn what the inner man is supposed to look like. Here's one thing that we learn. We learn about the wickedness of sinful thoughts, motives, and ways. Look at Galatians 5, beginning in verse 19. If we hear God, we learn what wickedness is. The works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Things related to these things, like these things, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to what God is saying, we're told. We have to have ears open to our Father telling us, listen, my children, if you practice these things, you can't enter the kingdom. God loves us. God longs for our salvation. And therefore, we need to hear Him and have ears that are open to Him. In Ephesians, or Galatians chapter 5, there at verse 26, He reminds them, don't be conceited, don't provoke each other, don't envy one another. Again, God opening our eyes and ears to the truth. Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 32, again, touches on an aspect of our living that is important to consider. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. And we read from this section, as we were thinking about in our reading, the direction that this lesson would take. But listen to Paul's words here to the church in Ephesus as he brings to their attention the things that they must be very conscious of, very aware of. And he talks about the way of life, putting away, in verse 25, lying. Be angry, do not sin, verse 26. Don't give place to the devil, verse 27. Don't steal, verse 28. Don't speak corrupt words, verse 29. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by doing all of these things. You see a picture of what we are supposed to look like. Do we have ears open to the correction that God gives us through His Word? Look at chapter 5 there, beginning at verse 3. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. We see the danger here that our God, our Father, is trying to alert us to. Therefore, hear God. We also learn from our Father the beauty of spiritual qualities that we need to incorporate into our lives. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Hearing God will make us aware of the danger and aware of the good that will make us stronger and make us more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We also have to have ears open to His rebuke and correction of sin. We see in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, the words of the Lord spoken concerning the judgment that is to come. God will not tolerate sin. He does not tolerate sin. He cannot overlook it in our lives, even though He loves us as His children, because His very nature is such that He must deal with sin. He must be a righteous God who judges sin. What does He say? He doesn't overlook any longer the sins of men. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He's appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. God is calling us. He's saying, you can't keep doing what you're doing. You've got to come home to Me. Repent of your sins. Turn to what is right. There will be hope then, because He reminds us judgment is coming. And judgment for all of us can be close, because we may pass from this life sooner than we think. The Lord may come at a time we don't expect. In fact, we know that He will come at an unknown time. We are supposed to have the heart, the mindset that says, I need to expect Him at any time. But often it's not that way. But here we're reminded of the need to turn to God because of the coming judgment. The thing is, if we will in fact have open ears to the Lord, if we'll listen to His word, we can find the reward that comes to those ears that are open. Consider for a moment words that are spoken here to those who will listen. In Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, as Solomon speaks these words, remember, these are the words of the Spirit to all of God's people. My son, if you receive My words and treasure My commands within you, so that you will incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright and is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His saints. God is looking out for those who will walk in truth. You'll understand righteousness, justice, equity, and every good path. God has much to give those who will listen, who will take the wisdom that He offers and follow His way. It leads to life eternal. But we also need to have eyes that are open to God as well. We have to see, first of all, that we do not measure up to God's standard. Psalm 14, verses 2 and 3, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. And of course, Romans 3 and verse 23 reminds us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we're going to see that we don't measure up to God's standard, it requires of us humility, requires honesty, looking at ourselves in light of God's word. It's hard to see our faults. We cannot, though. We cannot seek to justify ourselves in our sins, call them by a different name. That's often what happens today. You know, people relabel bad things so it doesn't sound so bad anymore. But sin is sin before God, and nothing is going to change what God has made sin into something else. We have to see it for what it is. We have to remember God shows no partiality, Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. God is a respecter of no one, but he who fears God and works righteousness, Peter says, is accepted by him. We have to see then also the great hope for those who will walk in the ways of the Lord. You remember in Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 24, what happened? The son had asked his father for his inheritance. He took it into that far country, lived it up. He lived in his sins. But fortunately, he realized in his suffering and his want that he wasn't living right. He came to himself. And he went home to his father. And his father received him. And his father rejoiced. Remember the hope that there is, that if we will have our eyes open to the reality of our situation, we can see the path home to our Father. And we can make that journey, and God will rejoice. And indeed, we learn in that same chapter, there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 100, you know, that need no repentance. It's a beautiful thing to see God waiting for us, calling us, summoning us home, and to make that journey back to where we need to be. But then we need to hasten to change. If we have a heart open to change, and ears that are open to God's word, and eyes that are willing to see where we are, then we need to act in a hurry because of what God shows us again and again in Scripture. For one thing, we don't know how long we have, and we need to do what God's will is here and now. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, the call to change from what is wrong to do what is right and what is pleasing in God's sight. Therefore, he says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So put away these things and be like this. Be imitators of God and walk in the ways of love. We've got to take action. We've got to do what will change us into what is good and right. We need to choose to walk in the light, Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And he explains the need for us to do that, that we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but expose them for what they are and walk with God. But we also need to consider the judgment. Hasten to change because look at what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. There is a day coming that we must be prepared for. God is desiring all to be saved, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Judgment is coming. The universe is going to be destroyed. How should you be living? Holy in your conduct, godly in your lifestyle. That's the way, he says, because we need to be thinking about the coming judgment. Therefore, hasten to change, hurry to change before it is too late. And the final idea there is follow Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ serves as a model for us. How should I live? Should I follow men? No, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see the words of admonishment. Look at Christ. He's your example. Follow him. Come back home to the Father. You were this way, wandering like sheep. Now you've come home to who? The shepherd of your souls. This is the one who's guiding you in the way of safety and leading you to heaven. To make it there, we have to have open hearts to God's word, listen to his call to change, have ears open to those truths that expose to us the way of sin versus the way of righteousness, eyes open to our lives and how we are living, and then understanding the need to hurry and change that we might be found presently right with God and pleasing to him. Each and every one of us must make a decision as to where where we're going to be this very day before God. Are we going to continue how things are? Are we not even members of the body of Christ? Have we wandered from the fold? Where do you want to be? Surely with God forever in heaven. But that happens when we make the choice to put away sin from our lives and live the difficult Christian life. That's the way to eternal life. Believing in Christ, turning away from our sins, confessing our faith in him, and being baptized so that our sins can be washed away is the plan that God has set forth to bring us from being lost into the condition of being saved. And remaining saved remains that we remain with hearts open to hear the instruction of our Father, to walk with him evermore and draw closer to him. If you need to heed the call of your Father and come home to him, we encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.